chapter 22. And I want to echo Brother McKeon last night. This is very familiar scripture, so don't fall out with me and think that you've heard everything. By the way, I just want to let you know that when a man of God gets up to preach, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. But thank God there's plenty of stuff new beyond the sun. Amen. I'm glad that there's something greater and better beyond. But I want to say tonight, it's a privilege to be here. It's good to see some folks from many different places. Blues Grove, where I pastor, see some folks from there tonight. Look, there's some folks just going over Pleasant View that's rolled in here tonight, supporters. I appreciate them folks, Brother Brett, Brother Dan, and the folks at Blue Ridge. Thank you for being mindful and backing and supporting your revivals. Good to see Brother Tommy tonight. But it's enough about who's here. I'm more interested in what the Lord can do for us. Genesis chapter 22, if you'll find, when you find your place, if you'll stand this evening, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God together. I want to do my best not to be real long before you, but I want to say all that needs to be said. The Bible said in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day," that's something about the third day in the Bible, ain't it? "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them together." I'll ask you tonight to bow with us. Lord, I beg you this evening, by the touch and the help of God, Lord, you'd help your servant. Help us to speak, Lord, not with the enticing words of man, but with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, may he be demonstrated in a way that it desire men, women, boys, and girls to want more of him. And Lord, if in the midst of this people tonight, if there be a boy, girl, man, or woman that knows you not, I beg you, Lord, that they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and repent and be born again. God, for that child of God tonight that just needs to be propped up and helped, I pray, Lord, you'd take your word and do that. Lord, now help us again, we beg you. May you speak through us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we make our plea. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say to you tonight, friend, Genesis is a book of beginnings. If you study out the book of Genesis, you'll find that many things begin in the book of Genesis. And tonight I want to say to you, if you'll notice in Genesis chapter number 22 tonight, we find the mention of a man by the name of Abraham. Now this is not the first time that you find Abraham, but you find for the first time in Genesis chapter 22, in verse number 5 tonight, you find a word that gets misconstrued a whole lot. The word worship. I want to preach on that thought for just a little while this evening. Of worship. It's the first time that it's found mentioned in your King James Bible. You'll find that as you study that, you say, "Preacher, I already know the account of this. Abraham went up on the mountain. He was ready to offer Isaac. And as he was offering Isaac, God behold a ram over in the thicket. And the ram came and spared Isaac's life." But I want you to realize something about that word worship, if I may, for a minute. If you study it out in the Old Testament, you'll find that it means reverence or devotion to a deity. It literally means to bow oneself down and to prostrate oneself. If you go to the New Testament and you study the word worship, it means to literally bow on the knee and to kiss one's hand. If you need another definition of that, it simply means as a dog would lick its master's hand. Can I ask you a question this evening? When's the last time that you came to church and worshiped Him? Can I ask you a question tonight? You say, preacher, this is not revival preaching. Let me just say, Bible preaching is good anytime we can get Bible preaching. Whether it be in a revival meeting, whether it be a devotion, whether it be we're getting ready to get up and go to work. Can I say to you, the Bible is for all times. Amen. Can I say to you, some of us have come to church tonight. We come to church on Sundays and Mondays. And as a matter of fact, let's just put it this way. We come to church on the days that end in Y because we've got a favorite Sunday school teacher. And they give us candy. Some of us only come to church because of that Sunday school teacher. Amen. Some of you only come tonight. There's folks here tonight. I'm not ignorant. You didn't come to hear me preach. You come to hear heaven sing. And I love singing. I believe good singing ought to go before good preaching. Amen. I believe that God's ordained singing for many years. He's backed it. I believe in good singing. Don't you misunderstand me. But if the only reason you come to the church is to sing in the choir or to hear them sing, you've missed the mark tonight. Some of you tonight come just because of the preacher. And I'm honored that you love me. But can I tell you, I'm a frail individual. I'll let you down. Do not look upon me tonight and judge my God upon what you see in me. I am a poor representation of Him. But can I tell you, He together is altogether lovely. Amen. He's everything that you'll ever need. He'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll be a drink of water when your soul is thirsty. He'll be bread for your hungry soul. He'll be everything that you'll ever be. Can I say to you tonight, some of you only come to church because grandma has bought that pew that you're sitting on, and she's donated it to the church. Can I tell you tonight, you ought not just come to the house of God because Mama and Papa used to come here. You ought to come tonight because you love Him, and He who died for you on Calvary's cross shed His life's blood. Some of you tonight only come to the church to be a leech. You want what benefits the church has got. When you suck all the blood out of it, you'll be ready to move on somewhere else. Some of you, the only reason you come to church, it's got awful still and quiet right there. You can tell when you've hit something in a Baptist church that bothers people. Amen. And then you all, some of you only come to the church because you know that there's a deacon there that's going to let you whine, moan, groan, and whine and cry. And they're the only person that's listened to you. Can I tell you, friend, when's the last time you've come and made much of Jesus? I thought Poncho was going to get up and preach everything that I was going to say tonight. He didn't know that we'd already lined up and was going forth. You say, when did you talk to him? Last night when I was here in service. Amen. You say, well, you didn't talk to him today. I got a text message from him that said this, praying for you, preacher, or praying for you today. That's all I've talked to him. Hey, friend, I want you to know something. I don't have to know him to find out something about you. The Holy Ghost will reveal to me what you stand in need of tonight. Can I tell you something tonight? It's been a long time since some of you has made much of Jesus. He's the one that come by your Samaria and picked you up. He's the one that come by your Samaria and gave you a cold drink of water. Can I tell you tonight, friend, you've forgotten that He's the one that come by your dried up brook, took you over the Zarephath and saw you dead be raised to life. Can I tell you tonight, some of you have forgotten that when you climbed up under your juniper tree and was ready to die, that He came by and baked you a cake and gave you a cold drink of water and meat for the journey. Some of you forgot tonight. Friend, listen to me. That you have come up in your cave. You've seen the earthquake. You've seen the fire. You saw the wind blow. And it'd be His still small voice that spoke to you and say, Elijah, what doest thou in there? Come out, Elijah. I've got work for you to do. Can I say to you tonight, friend, He's the one that came when nobody else would come. Hey, friend, you've forgotten tonight, like old Ruth was, that He came to your Moab and brought you out of Moab, the wash pot, and brought you to Bethlehem and gave you a fresh piece of bread. You forgot. Some of you forgot that He's climbed up in the fire with you. Hey, friend, I want you to realize something. When He climbed up in the fire with those three Hebrew boys, He let a pagan God, a pagan king, see God. He got to you. That's the only way that fellow was ever going to get his eyes over on them. He's climbed up And many of us don't make much of him anymore. You want to know why? Abraham didn't go on the mountain to offer his son. He went on the mountain to worship God.
That's right.
Now, can I say to you tonight, before you can worship, you've got to be willing to give. They'll take three things tonight for you to worship. Hey man, it'll take some wood. Hey man, it'll take a wood. How to build an altar to get to a place. Abraham was known for his altars. Hey man, you listen to me. When God called him out of Ur of Chaldees, he was over there worshiping false gods. That's all that they knew about over there. But as soon as God got him down in the land of Canaan, if it'd be alright tonight, I'll get rid of this and just get free. If it'd be alright for a little while, when God brought him out of the Ur of Chaldees and brought him down there into the land of Canaan. When he got there, amen, Abraham built an altar. And Abraham got a little closer to the Lord. He began to walk with him. According to Genesis chapter 12, in the latter parts of that, you'll find that between Ai and Bethel, amen, between a heap and the house of God, he built an altar. And he built an altar there and he began to get some things right with God. You read in chapter number 13 that a great famine rose up in the land. Abraham headed south, went down in the land of Egypt. You'll read in the whole time that he was in the land of Egypt in your Bibles that he never built an altar. But Abraham repented when he was down in Egypt. He turned back and went to the north. He come back between Ai and Bethel. When he got there again, he rebuilt the altar and he got right with God. Hey friend, Abraham knew the importance of having some wood so that he could build an altar and alter his life forever. But also I want you to know something. He knew that not only could he had to bring the wood, but he had to bring the knife also.
Amen.
Amen. For us to have revival, there'll be something that'll have to die this week.
Right.
Amen. There'll be something that'll have to die this week. There'll have to be some of your selfishness, some of your pride. Some of you. Not physically, but spiritually, you'll have to die out to him to have some. And then, friend, there'll have to be some fire. Because I'm going to tell you, where there's wood and there's a spark, there'll be a fire. It might not be a great big flame, but there'll be a fire. Can I say to you tonight, Peter said it this way, stirring up into you some remembrance of where you used to be, what you used to do, where God's brought you from. When's the last time? Can I help you for just a little bit? Can I say to you tonight that you want to know why most people ain't worshiping in these days? I can tell you why. Because worship is costly. Amen. Amen. Cheap worship is like cheap toilet paper. Amen. You know the dangers of cheap toilet paper, don't you, tonight? It's the same way with cheap worship, friend. It'll cost you something to say. Genuine worship tonight is submissive. God said, Abraham, go. And Abraham got up and went. Hey, by the way, 2/3 of God's name is go. Amen. Amen. You write that down. Amen. Amen. And he's still asking his people to go tonight. Amen. The Great Commission, or as we Baptists like to call it, the Great Omission. Amen. We say, well, we'll just send everybody else. God didn't say send everybody else. Hey, God's got a Philip. He's got a Philip for every eunuch. And you very well may be that Philip. Amen. To that eunuch that's down in Gaza that needs something. Amen. Needs something in the desert while it's going through. But can I say to you tonight that genuine worship is steadfast? Can I remind you again, Abraham had a life that he built altars on a regular basis. And he did it. When he got there, what did he do before he got ready to offer his son? He built an altar. He saved enough wood to build a fire. Amen. You want to know something about it? When you study out the sacrifices in the Old Testament, you want to know how you knew that God was pleased with your offering and your sacrifice? It's when it was consumed and burned up and there wasn't nothing but ashes.
Right.
Abraham was to the point. He knew that God would have to be pleased and he was willing to offer his all. But can I tell you something? Abraham gave up Ishmael. If he'd never gave up Ishmael, he'd have never gave up Isaac.
Right.
There's some of us that haven't given up a few things in this life. Can I say to you tonight, genuine worship is separated. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He went off with those fellows and he said, fellas, you stay right here. He said, me and the lad go yonder and worship. He said, and we'll come again. He believed, he counted God faithful that when he left that very place that him and the boy was coming back again. Amen. Can I say to you tonight that genuine worship is sacrificial? God will ask you of the most important thing of your life to see if you're willing to give it over.
Right.
I'll take a line of Brett Graham. Abraham and Sarah, when they should have been going to the nursing home, went down to the birthing ward. Amen. And God brought forth a little bitty baby by the name of Isaac. And through Isaac, he was going to bless the nation of Israel. Then Jacob would come, and then the seeds of the earth would be multiplied and brought forth. Amen. That's good Bible preaching on a Tuesday night. Amen. But now listen to me. But Abraham counted him faithful that even God could raise him from the dead. That's according to the book of Hebrews. If you say, well, preacher, I don't really like the book of Hebrews. All right, then you read Romans chapter 4. Amen. It was imputed unto Abraham righteousness because he believed God. That's Bible. Amen. Can I say to you, now I'm going to give you three quick things and we'll be out of here as this introduction. All right. Look with me in verse number 6. Look with me real quick. Now, I ain't where I want to go. Look with me in verse number 7. I want to say to you tonight, this whole book is about Jesus Christ. Yeah. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, it's Him. Yeah. He's embedded in the pages. You say, preacher, you can't find Him in the book. I promise you, you can find Him in Genesis. Amen. He is the Creator of all. I could go through every book and prove you. In the book of Exodus, He's the Passover. Amen. In the book of Leviticus, He's the five offerings. Hallelujah, friend. Listen to me. Amen. I can go right on through. You say, preacher, He ain't in there. Where is He in the Song of Solomon? He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You say, well, preacher, what about that book written by a woman by the name of Ruth? What is He over there? He's my kinsman redeemer. When nobody else could buy me, when nobody else wanted me, He come to the washing pot and bought me and gave Himself for me that I might be brought. He plucked off His shoe and handed it to the devil and said, I'll pay for Him and I'll take Him and He's mine. You say, preacher, worry, what about Nehemiah? He's still the cup buyer. I'm glad, friend, that He took the cup of wrath that I could not drink, that I could not pay, and He gave it for me. Amen, friend, He's in the pages of this book. Amen, you find Him in any book you want to find Him in. Amen. If I don't get to preaching, I ain't going to get nowhere tonight. Mom, I'm 11. What's going on in this place? Listen to me. Look quickly. Verse number 6. The Bible said Isaac looked over at his daddy and he said, Daddy, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Can I tell you tonight, the cry of the Old Testament is, where is the lamb? They's a looking for the lamb. Can I tell you, friend, on the blessed pages of this book, in Genesis 22, in verse number 6, the cry was, where is the lamb? But can I tell you, long before Isaac ever came along, God let a rose bush or some kind of bush with thorns on the side of a mountain grow long before Isaac was ever thought of. And God had a little lamb over there that was going to come up on the backside of this mountain. And friend, they tell me, somebody said, preacher, don't you know them rams is made with the horns the way they are? It is impossible for them to get caught in the thicket. I got news for you. One of them did. And somebody said, preacher, do you have proof that it was caught in the horns? And man, I most certainly do. You say, preacher, you ain't got Bible. I do. Because I want you to know something. If that ram would have got stuck in its body anywhere, it'd have had fault and it'd have had blemish. Honey, I want you to know, Jesus Christ tonight is altogether lovely. The Bible said there was no guile found within His mouth. Amen. He was perfect. He walked and talked amongst sinners, but He never became one because He is the Son of the living God. Can I say to you tonight, the Old Testament cried, where is the lamb? Can I tell you what the cry of the New Testament is? Turn with me. I'm about to bust. Turn with me in John chapter number 1. In verse number 29. John, now listen. John was much older than Matthew, Luke, or Mark. John was much older in his writing. And John wrote these words. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, listen to me tonight. If the Lord will help me, and my voice will hold out, I want to tell you something about that word, behold. Anytime that you see it in the beginning of a sentence, when it's written in Greek, it means this. Brother Kenny, I'm about to have me a spell. I'm about to lose my wind. But it means behold. It means to look upon something. Because there's never been one like it. And there's never going to be one that's going to be able to be like it. It means that it's going to be unique. You say, friend, what's the big deal about that? Well, listen to me. When God moved upon John, and he wrote this in the King James Bible, that's the reason it's important. The Bible said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word begotten, you know what it means? Means there ain't never been one like him before. There ain't gonna be one like him afterward. You look up John 3:16, it has 25 words in it. There's 12 words before Son, there's 12 words after Son. Can I tell you, everything about that book revolves around the Son of God. You say, I don't believe it, preacher. 1 John 5:12 said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen, that's the Word of God tonight. But can I tell you, they said, well, preacher, can you prove to us tonight that John was right when he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You still got your Bibles open? Look with me in the book of Luke. Look with me in the book of Luke. I'm going to go to my notes for just a minute if I can. I want to give you the right verse. Luke 2:47. Luke 2:47, if you will, for just a minute. Luke 2:47, the Bible says something like this. And they were astonished at his doctrine. You say, well, preacher, who in the world was it? Well, first of all, the first thing they said to him, they said, boy, what's your name? He said, well, on my mama's side, it's Jesus. He said, but on my daddy's side, he said, it's Emmanuel. He said, boy, how old are you? He said, on my mama's side, I'm 12. He said, but on my daddy's side, I'm the Rock of Ages. When this world came into existence, I was there. They said, boy, where are you from? He said, on my mama's side, I'm from Bethlehem. He said, but on my daddy's side, when the earth was spoken into existence, I was there. Hey, he said, on my mama's side, I had to learn how to talk. He said, on my daddy's side, I just spoke and it all came into existence. He said, on my mama's side, I had to learn how to walk. He said, but on my daddy's side, I stepped out on water and tread the water and made it to those disciples. He said, on my mama's side, he said, whoo. He said, on my mama's side, I was hungry. He said, but on my daddy's side, I'm the bread of life. He said, on my mama's side, I got thirsty. He said, but on my daddy's side, when I got to Samaria, and that woman needed a drink of water, I was the water of living life. You know something about that woman tonight? Bible said that it meant that she'd had 5 husbands. Or she had a husband and checked up with 5 different men. Y'all remember that account in the Bible, don't you? Hey man, she'd been with 6 men. Here comes Jesus on the scene. By the way, 6 is the number of man in the Bible. But if you study out the number 7, it's the number of completion and perfection. Here comes Jesus on the scene. She happened to be the 7th man. Hey man, everything to this point, you listen to me. All the days of her life, the way she had lived, in the harlot state that she was in. Many a time she went to the well, and the water got on her. But can I tell you, the day that Jesus came to Samaria, the water didn't get on her. Honey, it got in her. And it'll change the difference in this walk of life. It'll change you if you'll let the water get in you tonight. Can I tell you? He said, on my mama's side, he said, the boat like to sink. He said, but on my daddy's side, I said, peace be still. And the winds laid down. Hey man, listen to me. He said, on my mama's side, when I went to Lazarus' funeral, I wept. But he said, on my daddy's side, I said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound got up and came forth hand and foot. He said, on my mama's side, he said, I died. He said, but on my daddy's side, when them ladies come to the tomb on that early morning, he said, I am he that is alive and alive forevermore. He said, on my daddy's side, he said, friend, they put me in the tomb. He said, but on my mama's side, they put me in the tomb. He said, but on my daddy's side, I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you. Can I say to you tonight, friend, the cry of the Old Testament, where is the Lamb? Cry of the New Testament is, behold the Lamb. Can I say to you tonight, do you know what the cry of heaven is? Hey man, you say, preacher, you can't find that in the Bible. I most certainly can. The cry of heaven is this. Revelation 5:12 says, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You study out the word worthy and you find it comes from a Greek word eximos. You say, but I don't mean anything from it. It's where we get our English word axle or axis. Amen. I want you to realize something. Stay with me right here. I'm going to help you. If my voice will hold out, I'm going to help you. The word axis. This world was a tilting, friend, because of evil and sickness, and she was taking a big start. And somebody said, well, we got to do something about this. John said, I wept and I wept bitterly. He said, there was not none found worthy to open the Lamb's book of life. And they said, and behold, there's that word behold again. He said, behold, the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. Can I tell you, the church has been preaching that message for 2,000 years. Behold the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. He came on the scene, friend, and I want you to know, somebody said, did he equal it out? No, can I tell you that grace is still greater than sin? Amen. You say, preacher, I can't believe that doctrine. You have a hard problem with Bible then. Grace is greater than all my sins. Past, future, and present. Grace is greater. But can I tell you something tonight, friend? Not only do we see the cry of heaven, but can I say to you tonight, if you'll listen to me and I'm done, I want you to notice the cry of the unrighteous. Take your Bibles and look with me for just a moment. Revelation 6 and 16. It's been a joy to preach. Listen to me. I like to make much of Him. He's everything. But can I say to you tonight, if you've climbed in this place and you know Him not as Lord and Savior, I don't care if you've been a church member for 40 years. I don't care if you've been baptized and the tadpoles know your social security number. You listen to me. If you've not been born again, you will not see heaven. You cannot enter in. God's not going to let nobody in. Somebody said, preacher, the Jews is going. Let me tell you, every Jewish boy, girl, man, or woman must be born again to see the glories of heaven. Amen. Every white person must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Every black person, every Mexican, any other breed you want to think of under the sun tonight, friend, they must be born again. Except not, they'll not see the kingdom of heaven. The cry of the unrighteous tonight, look what it says. He said, Revelation 6:16 says this, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. That's the cry of the unrighteous tonight. You know what? It don't bother the devil for you to come to church.
You're right.
It don't bother the devil for you to play church.
Yeah, that's right.
He's tickled to death for you to sit on a church pew. Come to revival meeting after revival meeting and you know that you're lost as a ball in high weeds. He's satisfied with you doing that. He don't have to go hunt you down and find you. He's got you. You know what? He ain't got to go hunt that crowd that's down at the beer joint tonight. He's got them delayed. He's got you here. And he's got some of us, got some of you fooled. Not some of us, because I ain't in that us crowd. Amen. I'm born again. I know that. I was there when it happened. February the 19th, 1995, I got born again. Got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And you know what? Somebody said, preacher, well, you could lose that.
No. Right. That's
right. So, preacher, got Bible for that? How many verses do you want?
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
You said, John 3:16 is enough for me.
Amen.
Eternal life. Don't eternal life mean eternal life?
Right. Exactly right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No man's able to pluck him out of my hand. Well, preacher, I can get myself. No. It just said you couldn't.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, so you one of them Baptists that believe once saved, always saved? Amen. I say that without apology.
Amen.
Now, I don't believe you can live like hell in Hollywood and have the glories of heaven. I don't believe that. I believe when a man, woman, boy, or girl gets saved by the grace of God, there will be something in them that changes.
Amen.
Amen. There's no way that the Holy Ghost can move up in your soul and bosom and there not be some change take place. You trying to tell me you married people in here ain't changed for your wife? You're a liar.
Yeah.
Ladies, you haven't changed. In all these years y'all been married, there's been changes.
Yeah.
And that's just like when the Lord moves into your life. There'll be a change. I used to have a problem with cussing. Somebody said, that's a mouth problem. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's wrong. It's a heart problem.
That's right.
The mouth speaketh the abundance of the heart.
Yeah, that's
Right.
Amen. I had a problem with that. I thought just because I got saved, it just didn't clear up.
Right.
I got saved February the 19th. And I went back to high school that following Monday. And I let out a mouthful of cuss words. But you know what happened to this old boy for the first time in his life? Something whooped me like I ain't. I just thought my daddy could whoop.
Yeah.
Poncho, I went to spinning that combination on that locker. I stuck my head up in that locker and I said, Lord, I don't know what just come out of my mouth, but it ain't right for me no more. And I sure am sorry for letting that come out. Lord, I'll do my best to keep my mouth shut about things like that. Amen. There was a change. I wouldn't have made that change because the flesh likes to cuss.
Right.
Amen. You like to fit in. Everybody in this building, I don't care what age you are, you like peer pressure.
Right.
We all like to fit in. We all like to be liked. We like to be loved.
Yes, sir.
Can I say to you tonight, the cry of the unrighteous is hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. There's people that come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and they're scared to death to get right with God. I don't know. Can I tell you? Why do you fear joy?
Right.
Why do you fear forgiveness?
Yeah.
You said, preacher, is that what I get? Yeah. You'll get a peace that passeth all understanding.
Yes.
It'll cause you to start loving people you didn't think you could even stand.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
It'll cause you to say things that you didn't think you could say. Amen.
Right.
The Old Testament wondered where the Lamb was. The New Testament said, behold, He's here. And the cry of heaven is worthy as the Lamb.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm going to get to experience that one day.
Amen.
But if you're here tonight and you're unrighteous, let me just put it in redneck terms, Circana terms. If you're unsaved, you've never been born again, you fear the wrath of the Lamb. Can I tell you, you ought to.
Right.
The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. For the wages of sin is death. But thank God I learned a little bit of English when I was in school. There's another word right after that, and it's the word but. That's a conjunction. That means that what was before, there's something about to change. But the gift of God is eternal life
through
Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, only one thing I found that God's bad at. I found one thing He's bad at. Kenny's the worst horse trader I've ever seen in my life. He'll take my mess. He'll take your sins and give you a brand new life.
Amen.
I ain't never figured out how He's come out.
But
He does time and time again.
Amen.
Can I say to you tonight, if you're wondering where the Lamb is, He hung at Calvary. Shed His life's blood for you that you could have eternal life. Child of God, can I say to you tonight, if you're here, you ain't got to wait to glory to get to realizing worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
Can I say this? And I want to encourage the child of God. And then, Brother Kenny, come to the piano if you would.